My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This is Zee Holly in for Esprit Devora. I'm so excited to bring you Kelly Johnson because she is a huge leader in aerospace and in the manufacturing community. And I'm really excited to pick her brain a little bit about how she got into tech. So welcome.
Thank you, Zee.
So tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Kelly Johnson. I'm the president of Ace Clear Water. We are a supplier to the aerospace industry. We employ 200 of the best men and women in our industry. We're a third-generation family-owned business. We do not build our own proprietary product, but our core competencies are in forming and welding of exotic materials. And we tell the world that if it flies, our parts are on it.
So when did you start with the company?
I started with the company in the mid-80s. Was the first one in my family to go to college. And like most young people, wanted to make a difference in the world and have a big impact. So I studied international relations and political science, thinking I would change the world on a global scale, either by being in the Foreign Service or hosting fabulous parties as an ambassador. That didn't really quite work out for me, so I thought, well, maybe I could help people on an individual basis, and I enrolled in a clinical psychology program and realized that that wasn't satisfying me. And all the while, I had been working at my family's business throughout the summers growing up and while I was attending college. And one day, I was standing in the parking lot and looked around at all the brand new cars and thought to myself, my golly, I can't believe that our family business is, you know, creating the kind of careers here that people can put their kids through school or buy new cars or homes, where we can support an industry where the United States is still a global leader and carry on a family legacy. So I decided to join the family business, even though I didn't have a whole lot of support from my mom or my dad.
Oh, that's so wild. So, but you were really exposed to the tech world growing up because of your dad being, you know, you were working summers?
Yeah, it was working summers, but, you know, typical at that time, you know, manufacturing was more of a man's world. Mm-hmm. And so I was sort of relegated to the office and do some accounting stuff and pay some bills. And I'd walk the shop floor. I would put a welding hood on, lay down some rod just to get the feel of it. But I was never really encouraged to, you know, take that on as a trade.
Mm. So what would you say is your calling now?
My calling is to really promote the importance of manufacturing. I just believe it's a classic American notion of freedom, prosperity, and security. And I think about the products that the men and women are making across our country that have greatly improved our life and have protected our nation and our communities and strengthened our economy. So I'm hoping to promote manufacturing both in the local and state level, but also on a national level, to kind of like dismiss the outdated perception that so many people have about manufacturing, to really show people how cool manufacturing is today. Because for people that haven't been on a factory floor recently, technology has changed our factories dramatically. And, you know, we're making some really cool stuff, and it's exciting to work within a team and produce something tangible every single day.
So when did you know that was your calling? And then how did you actually take the, because clearly being in international relations and psychology are not your typical backgrounds, or at least not stereotypical. How did you actually take action to follow that calling?
I just jumped in. I just jumped in. No, really, when I saw that, what a tremendous opportunity. you have, Kelly, is what I said to myself. Mm. And like, how often does someone have a chance to be third generation? Because, you know, third generation manufacturers have a reputation of turning it into a lifestyle business and running it into the ground. So it was really a challenge for me personally to say, that's not going to happen on my watch.
Nice.
And my dad, he, you know, when I grew up and going to school, there weren't computers. You know? I mean, none of that. My very first job here when I was in college was we had this large IBM 36 mainframe where I would be inputting all of the engineering planning, which really helped me understand all of our processes that we went through in order to make our product. I would do the planning, the receivables, the payables. And my dad, being a true entrepreneur, ran the company by his guts and instinct. And as the industry was changing, computers were coming online, our customers being all the major OEMs, Boeing, Lockheed, Honeywell, GE, they were all really downsizing their supply chain and identifying their preferred suppliers and putting metrics in place. And my dad said he couldn't handle it anymore. It was too big for him to keep all in his head. So he's like, if you want it, it's yours. So it was really just, you know, trial by error and just doing it.
Did you have a mentor in this process?
You know, I tried having a mentor, and he and I never really clicked. So I guess my biggest mentor was probably my dad. He was my harshest critic. And there was many times that we would just get in a battle and lock horns, and I'd threaten to walk out and say, fine, if, you know, it's yours. I want nothing to do with it, you know? But I never really wanted to let him down. To this day, he gives me incredibly great advice and insight, even though he hasn't been a part of the business for quite a while now.
How do you overcome challenges?
Build a strong team. It comes down to the people, I think, that you surround yourself with, and having the same sort of goal and objective and commitment to overcoming them. And it comes down to, you know, doing what you say you're gonna do. And I guess one of the biggest compliments I ever had in my career was when a director at Boeing told me that when Kelly gives her word, it's her word. And you can't do that on your own, you know? Mm-hmm. So it does. It takes a really strong, committed team to help you get through those challenges.
Was there ever a point where you realized, oh, my God, I am on the wrong track? Like, I need to turn things around.
Oh, most recently.
Yeah.
Oh, most recently. We thought last year was going to be just a knockout year. Our backlog was bigger than it's ever been, and we just did not have the ability to execute and get our plan going and get the parts out the door, and we're really struggling with it and realized that we have been doing sort of the same thing the last 3 years, and it was time to disrupt the place. Mm. So we just recently went through a major reorganization, and you know, you just got to keep trying. What do they say? You can't just keep doing the same thing and expect different results.
Right. Did any of your life experiences, your unusual life experiences, help you in that kind of a refocus?
Well, I think what you do is really over time to trust your instincts a lot more. I've been really transparent, and I'm not afraid to share my weaknesses. And I think when we all just treat each other as human beings and realize that, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So how do we, you know, utilize our resources to their, you know, fullest capacity? Because we all bring something different to the table. You know, it's really, I believe, you know, in that culture of teamwork and honesty and respect.
What's the best lesson that you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dream?
I don't know if it's a good lesson. I have thin skin.
Right. It's good to know.
I'm a pleaser. So I feel really bad when I let people down, whether it's my customer making a promise, you know, that they're going to have a part on a certain day and slipping that date. You know, even if it's out of our control, I just feel it's horrible having to make that call. I feel bad when I let our employees down, that I wish I could give all of them the world to a certain degree and I can't. And so oftentimes, maybe not often, but there are times that you feel like you maybe could have done better. I think about some of the decisions that I've made that out of principle, they were probably right, but they really didn't benefit the company, you know, by standing on your principles all the time. And those were lessons that have helped me see things from different perspectives, as opposed to just seeing it from my narrow view, you know, to try to put myself in the other side's shoes.
What's next for you?
What's next is this year. This is what's next. We're going to make this year the year that we didn't have last year. And I'm super, super excited about that. But in terms of, you know, my career, what's next is really trying to establish, you know, a life for Ace Clearwater when I'm not involved. I'm at a point in my life where I'm really trying to evaluate what my next chapter is going to be and what my interests are. And I definitely want to leave behind a legacy for the manufacturing community. And I want to make sure that Ace Clearwater is in good hands when I'm no longer here as president.
Important to do. What women in tech inspires you?
Oh, gosh. I look at women like Marilyn Husum, who is now running Lockheed, to think, you know, this defense giant. Who would have thought, you know? So, but really, I have to say it's the women here at Ace Clearwater that inspire me. You know, a lot of the women that we employ have come from engineering backgrounds. They're super sharp. They have a skill set that I don't possess. And when I see them working with the men and women out on the shop floor or actually running a machine, you know, and making a living, a really good living for their family, that's what inspires me.
Are you ready for the quick fire round?
Well, okay.
All right. What's your favorite book?
Oh, my golly. I just read this great book called A Gentleman in Moscow.
Okay.
By Amir Tolov. And it was so many life lessons in this book. And it was written so well that it kind of reconfirmed the path that I'm on and what I'm doing and how I perceive things. So that was really interesting.
Cool. I'm going to check that out. Favorite podcast or video series?
Oh, it must be The Art of Manufacturing.
Thank you.
I love that.
Your best resource for tech?
I would have to say it's all of the publications that I get on my computer every morning, whether it's Manufacturing Trends or Smart Briefs or, you know, I just sort of pick and choose and go through and find what looks interesting and read it.
Your hobby?
Well, I love growing vegetables. I love growing them, picking them, and cooking them, and spending time out there with my animals in
Your
the garden.
Animals. What kind of
I have
animals?
A dog,
yeah.
Cousin Joey, he's an 8-month-old Doberman, and two cats.
Nice.
Lava and Elsie.
Aw. How can people stay in touch? Your website? Or?
Oh, our website is, you know, aceclearwater.com and or Kay Johnson at Ace Clearwater.
Nice.
I'm not a social media person.
No.
Unfortunately.
That's all right. I mean, for your industry, maybe you don't need it.
Right.
Well, it's been so much fun. Thank you so much for sharing your story on the Women in Tech podcast.
It's been my pleasure, Z.
It's been really amazing to hear from Kelly. And I encourage you to connect with her, take a look at Ace Clearwater, get more interested in the tech behind manufacturing. And, you know, it's not the sort of angle of tech that people usually think about. To connect with other amazing women entrepreneurs, go to womenintechvip.com. If you love this conversation and want to get a deeper dive into Kelly's world, check out our conversation on the Art of Manufacturing podcast. It's a behind-the-scenes look at how entrepreneurs who make stuff are trying to make it in their industries. Find it on iTunes at makeitinla.org/listen or search for the Art of Manufacturing on your favorite podcast player. This is Zee Holly in for Esprit Devora. Thanks for listening to Women in Tech. Bye!
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.